Well, today we have the passage from Matthew chapter 6, which is right in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, and it is the Lord giving us the Our Father called the Lord's Prayer. It's always considered the greatest prayer ever composed because it is composed by Christ Himself, the Son of God. And He teaches us how to pray. And first He warns us not to be like the pagans who would just keep multiplying their words and speaking many words, babbling like the pagans, repeating things so that their gods will hear them. And Jesus says, no, a Christian prays differently. We don't babble like pagans. We pray with the heart. God knows what we need before we ask Him. So our prayer can be very simple. It doesn't have to be all these multiplied words that have no meaning. So we have to pray with thinking about our Heavenly Father and to pray with simplicity. And the Our Father is, of course, the greatest prayer. It could be said by a child, but a person like Thomas Aquinas could preach for 40 days just on the beauty of the Our Father. In fact, St. Teresa of Avila says that if you want to learn how to pray, just pray one Our Father, but take an hour to say it. Okay, so read it, pray it very slowly and meditate upon each word, each verse of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. And it is considered the perfect prayer. It contains everything we need from God for our spiritual and material life. So there are seven petitions in the Our Father. So when the Lord told His disciples, this is how you are to pray, unlike the pagans who just say many words without thinking, He says, when you pray, pray in this way, pray in this pattern. In fact, if you want to read probably the most beautiful commentary on the Our Father, you would go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the New Catechism. There are four parts of the Catechism: the Creed, the Sacraments, the Commandments, and prayer. The whole final fourth section is on prayer. And it's really a commentary on each of the phrases of the Our Father. It'd be a very good thing to read during Lent. The fourth part of the New Catechism. It's the shortest section, but it's also perhaps the most beautiful of the entire New Catechism. So let's very briefly just walk through this beautiful prayer of the Our Father. Jesus says, this is how you are to pray. He says, begin your prayers by saying, Our Father. Notice He doesn't say, pray my Father, because whenever we pray for each other. We're not solitary. Yes, we're individuals, but we belong to the church. We belong to the community. So every time we pray, we're praying for the needs of our brothers and sisters in the faith, and we're praying for the needs of the whole world. So we always pray, Our Father. So we're praying for each other. We pray for those who do not pray. We pray for those that are far away from God. And we call God Father. This word, Father in English, isn't really the best translation, because the word that Jesus used was something really never used in the Old Testament, and that was Abba, which is the word that a little child said to his dad. It's like Papa or Dada, Daddy. And so I remember being in the Holy Land once in the bakery, and I heard a little boy say, Abba, Abba. And he was pulling on his father's coat. He wanted the donut, I think. And that's the kind of intimacy like a three-year-old would say to his father. So Jesus could have used a more formal term for father, but He doesn't. He uses the word Abba, Dada, Daddy. And so that intimacy is here. And then we praise and honor God by saying, who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven. So that our Father lifts us to think about heaven. And then we begin the petitions of the Our Father. Hallowed be your name is the first petition. May your name be held holy. May we respect your name. May your name always be honored. See, in the Bible, a person's name was their whole person. So when you honor a person's name, you honor them. So God, may you be honored, glorified. May your name never be used in vain. May you, as God, always be worshipped, adored, and honored. And then we pray the second petition, thy kingdom come. So we're praying for the coming of God's kingdom. The Catechism of St. Pius X says it's a threefold kingdom. We're praying that one day we may get to heaven and enjoy His kingdom in heaven. We're also praying for the church, which is the kingdom of God on earth. We're praying that the church will grow and flourish and spread throughout the world. And third, we're praying for the reign of God's grace within our souls, that the kingdom of God is within us, Jesus says, because God's grace lives within our souls. So we are dwelling places of God's grace, of the kingdom. So may we pray for one day to get to heaven. We pray that the church, the kingdom of God on earth, will spread throughout the world. And we pray that God's grace may reign in the kingdom of our hearts. The next petition says, "Thy will be done." So many of us pray, "Lord, thy will be changed," right? We don't want to do God's will sometimes, but this is a beautiful prayer. "Lord, thy will be done." When you're suffering, "Lord, thy will be done." And so many times we want God to do our will, but true prayer is submitting our will to the will of God. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, how is God's will done in heaven? By the angels, by the saints. It's done perfectly and readily and willingly. So we pray, just as the angels and saints in heaven do God's will so readily and willingly, so may we do God's will on earth as it's being done by the angels and saints in heaven. "Give us this day our daily bread." So each day, remember in the Old Testament that the people had to pick up the manna every day. If they tried to pick up a week's worth, it would spoil and go bad. So trust in God every day for your daily bread. Now the word "bread" here means much more than physical bread. The way St. Jerome translated it is super substantial bread, which also includes the Eucharist. So Lord, give us the grace to go to daily Mass. Give us the grace to receive our daily bread each day. Yes, our daily bread means our food, clothing, and shelter physically, but it also means all the graces that we need, the Eucharist, the grace we need for our spiritual life. "Forgive us our trespasses." So this is Our Father is an act of contrition. "God, forgive me my sins to the exact same degree that I'm willing to forgive those who have sinned against me." So we set the measure, we set the standard. If you're a forgiving and loving person, God will be forgiving and loving towards you. If you won't forgive others, then you're not allowing God to forgive you. So the most important word in the Our Father is the shortest word, "as." "God, forgive me my sins as I am willing to forgive those who sin against me." So we set the measuring rod, we set the standard. So you can guarantee that God will be forgiving towards you on your judgment day if you are forgiving towards everyone while you're on earth. And then it concludes by the last few petitions. "Lead us not into temptation." Lead us not into temptation, which means, Lord, don't let us be tempted beyond our strength. Always give us the grace to resist temptation. Don't let us put ourselves into the occasions of sin. Lead us not into temptation. Don't let us be tempted beyond our strength. But deliver us from evil. The other translation is, deliver us from the evil one, which is the devil, but deliver us from all evil, moral evil, physical evil. Lord, deliver us from anything that leads us away from you. Deliver us from the evil ones. This is an exorcism prayer. See how this Our Father contains everything we need for our spiritual well-being, our physical well-being. It helps us focus on heaven, on being sorry for our sins and forgiving others, and that we may honor God's name and we may live the Christian life. So again, everything we need is contained in the Our Father. So I'd encourage you to, during Lent, meditate upon the Our Father, read section 4 of the New Catechism, and really reflect upon this most beautiful of all prayers.